In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, blessed feast.
Blessed feast.
Well, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we hear that there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And I mentioned last week how we started the new ecclesial, we had the ecclesial new year. We started a new year in the church. And so exactly 1 week after that, we have our first of the 12 great feasts. And that's what we're celebrating today, the Feast of the Nativity, the birth of the Theotokos. It's interesting, the church year begins and ends with the Theotokos. Now, you can't really say that our salvation had a particular starting time. To do that is to put something on it that's not really there. But if you were to say that, you would say that the birth of the Theotokos was kind of that time. You see, our salvation is, we are saved because we are united to God. And we're only united to God because the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God, became man. Because he fully became man, we can be united to that humanity. We can't be united to a divinity. It would destroy us. And so in order for our salvation to take place, he needed a mother. He needed someone to take his humanity from, and that's what the Theotokos is. And so the beginning of our church year, the first of the 12 great feasts that we celebrate, like I said, exactly a week after we start the new church year, is the birth of the Theotokos, the birth of the one who gave the Son of God, gave the second person of the Trinity his humanity. And like I said, there's a season for all these things. The church operates in this way for a reason. Time is not something that had existence outside of itself. It didn't have some existence outside of God. Time was created. You can say there was a quote-unquote time when there was no time, when time was not. And likewise, there'll be a time when time ends. Of course, that makes no sense, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. And even right now, there are those that are outside of time. God is outside of time. The angels and the demons are outside of time. Those who have died are outside of time. But because God has given us this gift of time, he's also given us seasons for the passing of time. We don't view time in the Orthodox Church as kind of a straight line. If we were to view it anyway, it'd be more kind of a spiral, where there's movement forward, but there's also a cyclical motion to it. And so the church year is one of those examples. We have the different seasons of the church year. We have the 12 great feasts that we celebrate every year. I'll just go ahead and list those. The Nativity of the Theotokos that we're celebrating today. The Exaltation of the Cross, which is next Saturday. We're already moving on. There's already this forward movement where we're celebrating one feast today, but the gospel that we read is the gospel for the Sunday before the Holy Cross, just because how it happened to line up. Normally it would be a little later, but because it fell on a Sunday. Then we have the presentation of the Theotokos when she was taken to the temple, and then the Nativity of Christ, the baptism of Christ, the presentation of Jesus at the temple, the Annunciation, the Sunday before Pascha, which would be Palm Sunday, Pascha itself, and then 40 days after Pascha, we have the Ascension, and then 10 days after that, 50 days after Pascha, Pentecost, then the Transfiguration, and then we end the church year with the Dormition, the falling asleep of the Theotokos. As I said, we begin and we end with the Theotokos. Granted, Christ is the one, he's the first of all things. He's the first of absolutely everything. But when it comes to humans who are not also God, the Theotokos is the first one that we look to. She was the first person to be united to Christ. She was united to him both spiritually and physically as she was his mother. She was the first to participate in the resurrection, because after she died, her body was taken up into heaven and she was glorified. She is the one that we follow. She is the human that we follow and that we seek to emulate the most. And one of the ways that we do this is we celebrate her through these feasts. We celebrate her through the different times of the year. So now we celebrate her nativity at the end of the year, the like I said, the last feast is her dormition, and we spend 15 days with special services devoted to her. And one of the other ways that we emulate her is by following her faithfulness to the church. I don't know whether you know this, but she came at a very, very young age. She came as a toddler and lived out her young childhood in the church, in the temple. It was only when a little bit later on in life that she then left the temple and lived with Joseph, and Joseph was her protector. He was an older man who had taken her on as a protector, not as a normal husband that we think of. But we see her taking part in the season, in the feasts and the fasts that would have existed in the Jewish temple at the time. And so one of the ways in which we honor her, and one of the ways in which we truly be who we are, who we are meant to be, designed to be those who live in these seasons, is we celebrate the seasons of the church. We celebrate the feasts and the fasts of the church. You know, there's never a fast without a feast. Every single fast has a feast. Obviously, we have Lent with the Feast of Pascha, and we have the Nativity Fast, which has the Nativity itself. Then we have the Apostles' Fast, which has the Apostles' Feast at the end, and the Dormition Fast, which has the Feast of the Dormition. Likewise, every Wednesday and Friday when we fast, you know what the feast is for that? It's that Sunday. Every Sunday is a small Pascha. We celebrate the Pascha, the resurrection, every single Sunday. So we fast on Wednesday because that's the day that Judas betrayed Christ. And we fast on Friday because that's the day of the crucifixion. And then we feast on Sunday. So having these fasts make no sense if they don't have the feast attached with it. So if you go through a period of the fast and then don't attend the feast, there really was no meaning to that. And so we want to emulate the Theotokos and her great devotion to God through which she lived the different cycles of the church, and do that same thing. Keep an eye on the calendar. Get yourself an Orthodox calendar if you don't have one, so you can know when these 12 great feasts come. And come to the 12 great feasts. You should make it a goal to attend every single one of them. They're beautiful. They all have their own very special meaning. And participate in the fast. Participate in the weekly fast of Wednesday and Friday. And then the other fasts that there are throughout the year, the four great fasting periods. And there are even special fasting days. For instance, the Elevation of the Cross. That day is a fasting day. It's a feast in which we fast. Likewise, the beheading of St. John the Baptist, which we just celebrated, that's a feasting day in which we fast. It's one of those great things. I was just reminded the other day, the reason why we do that is because St. John the Baptist was beheaded at a feast. So we do that opposite thing. And so everything that we do in the church has meaning. And it all is not some obligation that we have to come to. There's no high holy days of obligation where if you don't do this, 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 and this, God's going to smite you. But instead, they're all gifts. All of these feasts, all of these seasons, all of this pattern is a gift, because that's how we operate. That's how we were created to operate. And when, instead of just having the pattern of work and weekends and vacation and stuff like that, we take on the pattern of the church as well, and we participate in the feasts and the fasts and the services and the prayers and the times of confession, then we truly will be blessed. We truly allow God to bless us in that, and to be able to live the life that we were created for, in which we're not just following our own schedule, but we're following His that is perfect and that is for our salvation. To the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.